Okay, excellent. So first of all, could you just tell me your name and your position, please?
My name's Toby Costin. I'm one of the directors at Crew Energy. We're a community benefit society, so that's a not-for-profit entity that works in Southwest London to help people with the migration to a low-carbon economy.
What do you hear most from people coming to you for advice?
I think it's just that, really. They want advice. People don't understand what they can do. So we have a lot of people come to us and say, I want to do something. How do I get involved? What can I do in my own home? It's those kind of things. And I don't think there's enough messaging, maybe at a council level or a national level. We should have those old videos that we used to see back in the 90s and the 80s, you know, government videos saying, look, do this, do that. I think there needs a whole lot more education. We've seen the announcements today around heat pumps, and people don't really know what a heat pump is. We've done a couple of webinars, and the base knowledge is very, very low. You know, people call them electric boilers, and they're not an electric boiler, they are a heat pump. It's quite different from electric boiler. That's something else entirely. So there's a huge amount of work to do, I think, to get people up to speed so they know what they can do, how they can help in this climate emergency.
What would you say is the biggest fallacy about energy saving?
I think the biggest fallacy is that it's going to cost us money. It isn't going to cost money. You know, a lot of these technologies that you can adopt in your homes, for instance, will have very quick paybacks. You know, something like a heat pump with the subsidy, it being cheaper than gas over the next few years, as we see gas prices rise because of international competition for gas, but also because of the climate change levy moving from electricity to the gas market, will mean that actually these things will pay back in several years. Things like LED lighting can pay back in 2 years. You know, really easy, simple, low cost thing to do, very straightforward. Smart thermostats, smart radiator valves, things that, you know, the 1 to 6 controls on your radiator, you can get smart version of those. These things allowed you to control your heating so much more than you ever done before. Again, you're looking at 3-4 year paybacks. So I think that's probably the biggest fallacy for me, is that this is an expensive thing to do. It isn't. You know, you can make these measures, and nationally we can make these measures and actually make these things work and pay for themselves.
We're seeing that a lot of people might have high bills this winter in terms of energy. What advice do you have for those people?
Well, firstly, I had sympathy, because we've seen this 12.5% hike already, and obviously we're seeing much higher prices. If you were in the market today, let's say you're moving into a house, you'd be paying £1,600-1,700 for your gas and electric on a new contract. So it's a very difficult scenario, but I go back to what I've just said. Look at small measures, things like LED lights. You know, they use 10 to 30% of the electricity of old style filament lights or strip lighting. So switch to those, you'll save money. Very simple measures would be only heat the rooms that you're in, close doors, heat a room, don't heat the whole house. Draw your curtains early. Once the sun set, draw your curtains, lock the heat in, tuck your curtains in behind your radiator so the heat is coming into the room, not going behind the curtains out the window. Snakes at front doors, or anything, you know, pillows down at front doors, cushions down at front doors to stop those drafts. You can lose 5% of your heat up your chimney. So something like there's a product called Chimney Sheep, which I think costs around about £30. Put that up your chimney, you'll stop losing heat up your chimney. Very, very good little measures. So I think small measures like that will make a difference. Try and turn your thermostat down 1 degree, save you around about 10% on your heating bills. I think we're all going to have to wear jumpers this year at home, you know, and keep ourselves warm before we turn our heating on. I mean, it's been a blessed relief that September and October have been so mild, so we haven't had to turn our heating on as early as we have previously. So that's one good thing.
In regards to the gas boiler announcement today from the government, do you think it goes far enough?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's a very small scale measure. It's only 450 million. It's going to be for 90,000 homes. We've got 27 million homes in Britain, and I think probably 24 of those are on the gas grid. So it is a drop in the ocean, really, on what needs to be done. It doesn't tackle things like fabric, The 5,000 itself is only probably half the amount of money you will need to install a heat pump. Heat pumps cost around about £10,000 at the moment. Some are more expensive. The bigger the house, the more expensive your heat pump will be. So I think there's that factor. There is the factor that we don't have enough installers. In London, there are hardly any installers at the moment. It's really, really hard to get an install. And we've got lots of people coming to us saying, our installers let us down. Can you recommend somebody else? Or I'd like a heat pump before the RHI finishes, which is the subsidy scheme before the one you've just mentioned. And people are booked out now to January, February already. You know, we're looking 4 or 5 months ahead on lead times for some of these businesses. So there's a long way to go. And I think this is really just scratching the surface. It's not really dealing with the problem at all.
When it comes to smart energy meters, what I heard, and this is coming from Professor Ross Anderson at the University of Cambridge, he was saying that because they are installed by the energy companies, they don't have an incentive to charge the homeowner less. So it's actually going to cost the British public a large amount of money. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, smart meters, beyond that, I think we've probably all had a smart meter in our house and we've looked at it for a week and then you either push it behind something or you unplug it because you're not looking at it at all. So there is a cost, you know, and this cost is never made clear. But the reality is that when an energy company installs this thing, it needs to pay for it. So it will get paid for across everybody's bills. So the whole, you know, 27 million households will be paying for those smart meters. And what do they really do? At the moment, not a lot, because we look at them for a week or two and then we forget. I think ultimately what they will allow us, they're very good for the grid and they're very good for the utilities, because it allows them to have instantaneous information. It gives them the ability to get their bills absolutely correct. So I guess from that perspective, it's good for us. But in terms of energy consumption, it's not doing much now. What will happen next 2 or 3 years is time of use tariffs. So we'll actually be charged for when we use energy. And energy costs different amounts of money at different times of day. So 6 o'clock in December will cost a whole lot more than midday in July, because there's a whole lot of wind, there's a whole lot of solar around in the summer, demand is lower, we don't need our lights on at lunchtime in July. Deep midwinter, heating's coming on, lights are coming on, up people cooking with their ovens, industry still going maybe at 6. It's a really expensive period of time. If we can actually be charged when we use our electricity, it does 2 things. One, it takes pressure off the grid, and 2, it makes it cheaper for us. If we can, say, time our washing machines come on at midday rather than 6 in the evening, that would save us money if we were on a time of use tariff. So they will have a purpose ultimately. We're not seeing that purpose right now. There's very few time of use tariffs. I think Octopus have their agile tariff. That's sort of one of the few examples. And people who've got, say, EV chargers or might have solar PV, they might have a time of use tariff, but the rest of us don't. So I think it will be important. It feels like it's just a cost to us currently, I would say.
How much trust should people be putting in the energy companies that they will actually end up saving money on one of these new tariffs? Because if they're at work at midday, then time for their washing machine to come on is going to be tricky, isn't it?
Well, products getting smarter all the time. So our washing machine has a delay button, so I can actually delay my thing, say 6 hours, so it would come on at lunchtime. It's just those avoiding that 4 till 7 is really the crunch period most of the time. Yeah, that's the bit that you really don't want to be using electricity. So if you can avoid that 4 to 7, so if you look at Octopus's tariff, this is their summer numbers, not these new crazy world we're in currently, but they were charging probably something like 15.5p for electricity. If you avoided 4 till 7, you would be paying 7 or 8p. It's substantially different. So it's on us as the consumer really to adopt those models and say, okay, I can avoid that peak period as much as possible. I can washing machines, dishwashers, whatever it might do my ironing, not boil a kettle between 4 and 7. Hard to do for many, I'm sure, but there are things that we can do. We can change our behavior patterns to avoid that peak period, take pressure off the grid, and reduce our bills at the same time. And I think that's the way the market will go over time. And obviously, as battery storage gets cheaper, this will become easier because we can store energy at midday when it's cheap and then use it between 4 and 7. So we're not calling on energy from the grid. Well, we'll call on it from our batteries to cover us over that period. And again, there are probably a couple of years away from them being cheap enough for us to use that way.
Okay. And can you tell me about these one-off prepayment meter vouchers for those in emergency situations that you're offering?
I mean, there's always help each year. You know, there's the sort of warmer homes grants and things like that. So there will be additional support this year. And what I would suggest is anyone living in Southwest London, come onto our website. We run Energy Advice, and we've got a couple of events coming up. One of them will be at Tooting Library, actually, on the 12th of November. And we can help with all those kind of things because they can be kind of difficult and they can be kind of technical. If you go onto our website, which is careenergy.london, there is a energy advice button. Click on that and you can request a phone call. We've got volunteers on our phone line that can help people with these kind of measures. So that's probably the best approach for people living in our part of town, really, is to give us a call and see how we can help with not just that, but energy saving advice. We might be able to refer you for a home visit, which could be things like having draft excluders installed, radiator flashbacks, maybe things to reduce your water consumption as well. So there's a whole range of measures that can be implemented. So the best place to start is probably with Crew's Energy Helpline.
Excellent. Thank you very, very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Bye.